Okay. I have a question for you. I want you to take a little time to think about it. We shouldn't be quick to answer this question. It's a question from God's Word. And ultimately, I'm not the one asking you. My mouth is being used. But ultimately, God is asking you. The question is this. What are you doing here? Why have you come here? What is your plan? What is your intent? You see, with this question comes a lot of other questions. Why today? Why have you come together today? What have you come to do? It all hinges around one question. What are you doing here? God asks you today, what are you doing here? What do you want? What are you looking for? You could be in the field. You could be washing your clothes. You could be going to the market. There's a lot of things you could be doing. And many things in general are even lawful. We must wash our clothes and take care of our family. But why are we here together today? And what have you come to do? God asks this of you. Because He is doing an inspection. He's inspecting your heart. You know, when you buy something, maybe a piece of land, what do you do? When someone comes to you and says, I have a piece of land, would you just buy it? Or would you have to see it? And if you go to see it, what would you be looking for? You're inspecting it. You inspect it in so many different ways. Is it healing? Are you able to plant crops? Is the ground profitable? You know, all of these things you inspect. Do you know that as you come to church, that God is the inspector? And He's inspecting your heart. He's asking you, what are you doing here? And what do you want? Now we know one thing, that those who want something from God shall get it and shall receive it. Because they seek with diligence that which they are looking for. But I hope today you have not come here to wonder, I wonder what that Azungu looks like. Or maybe what his family looks like. I hope you have not come. Because it doesn't matter what I look like. It matters what God's Word says. And I am one with you. For God will search my heart today. Let's go further. What are we doing here? And let's go a step further. Why today? Why is it today that we have gathered here? And on this particular day of the week, it is Sunday today. We know the day of the week. But I want to ask someone here today, why today? Does anyone want to answer this?
It's a day to worship Him.
Okay. So it's a day to worship Him?
Well,
but can we worship Him tomorrow?
It's possible. We can even pray in our houses every day.
Sure. But why are we not coming here tomorrow morning?
In other words, this is the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Good. What? So he says this is the first day of the week. What does the first day of the week have to do with worship?
It's different whether we do our works after Saturday, then on Sunday we keep it special for the Lord. And they said, then the Lord set aside for us to be worshiping Him.
Why did He set this day aside?
He gave us some other days to do some work, but when it comes to Sunday, we should quit everything else and give our own time to Him.
Where are you getting that from?
In
Scripture. I'm not here to challenge you, I'm here to help you. So far you're doing very good answering.
I want to help you further. Where are you getting that from? Where are you getting that from? Because God worked all the days of the week, but He set aside this day, I will not do the works, I have to rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's in the Old Testament, correct?
Yes.
So He worked 6 days,
and
seventh day He rested. There's just a problem. And I want you to help me. He worked 6 days, he rested the seventh day. Except we're not resting the seventh day. We're resting on day one. That's a challenge. If we are to follow Old Testament scripture, we were supposed to do it on day seven yesterday. Is this not correct? Does anyone want to help me further? Maybe you...
Because of that, some other separation that came around. Some people chose to be worshipping God on Friday, some on Saturday, some on Sunday, so we chose this day.
Okay, but... We have to base everything on Scripture. Otherwise, we could say the same thing for other reasons. Like, otherwise, I could say, I choose to have 3 wives, and he chooses to have 5 wives. It's whatever they choose. We can't do that. We have to stay to Scripture. So, let's go back. The fact that some people choose one day and other people choose another day is not biblical. That's why we condemn the doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist. Look, I'm not a sympathetic preacher. I don't have a gospel for all of the churches. We just know that the Seventh Day Adventist can be proven out of God's word that it's not right. And when you have one thing that's not right, it leads to other things that are not right. Okay, so we'll step away from that for a moment. I need you to stay with me. Let's go back. If the Old Testament says he worked day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and rested the seventh day, then we must think, well, then we're supposed to also rest on the seventh day, which is Saturday. That would be the reasoning of many people. But let me help you. I want to teach you something. And I want you to talk about it. And I want you to think about it. And I want to base it off scripture. Why is it that we gather on the first day of the week? What is the reason for that? The reason is this. We have what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is not the same as the New Testament. It's one Bible. And it's both inspired by God. But Christ continually speaks about something we need to pay close attention to. He always refers to the law and the prophets.
Yes, and
that's the Old Testament. The five books of Moses is the law, and the prophets, which we know as minor and major prophets. Even David in the Psalms was a prophet. In the New Testament, there is no law and prophets. Now listen carefully. We know that the prophets ended before Christ came. Why is there no law and prophets in the New Testament? It's for this reason. Because all of the law and the prophets all worked for one common goal. It was to reveal Christ in the New Testament. That's what the law and prophets did. Let me take you somewhere to scripture where it's very clear. Jesus Christ took two of his disciples.
Yes, I'm going to put it out.
To the mountain. And what happened? Maybe you know the story? Jesus Christ, it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. So, transfigure means something. Transfer that of the Old Testament that was figurative. And transfer that into life. Transfigure. Transfer the figure. It's always so important to start church together because otherwise you're distracted. Okay, are you following me?
Yeah.
Transfigure. Transfer figurative of the Old Testament into the New.
Yes,
if this is too difficult, you just put your hand up. Please don't say amen if you don't understand.
Okay,
we can't fool God. But stay with me. Because the original question is, what are we doing here? And I'm giving you an example of Old Testament being complete in Christ in the New Testament. So he's there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what happens? Does someone want to help me? What happens there? Yes.
Kunaoneka my prophet, I think Moses and Elijah.
Kunaoneka nini na wili? Moses, the two prophets appeared. Moses and Elijah.
Yes. Wonderful. Do we know this? So Jesus Christ is standing there, and Elijah and Moses in a figure appear.
Yes, wana waganda kumpera, kunaoneka sokuti Moses ndiye Elia na imambali ziwili mbali zake za Yesu.
Why?
Ndaje kanja.
What's the purpose of this? It's to teach us something. Watch what happens. Moses is the law. Five books of Moses. Elijah is representative of the prophets. They stand beside him. One on one side and one on the other side. And what are we going to learn from this? What happens next? A cloud covers the three of them. Let me mention this. 1 Peter says, it's good for us to be here. Let's build an altar. One altar for each of them. Why was that not a good idea? It's because Peter thought we should build an altar for all three of them while we only have one altar in Christ Jesus. You cannot sacrifice to the law. You cannot sacrifice to the prophets. They can offer you nothing except what God demands. You see, the prophets don't offer us life. The prophet does not say, the prophet prophesies but doesn't give life. But he prophesies from the one who can give life. Jesus Christ. Moses and the law also can't give you life. My people, listen carefully. The law will never give you life. It only kills. This you read in Romans and in Galatians, very clearly. Trying to keep the law of God will not give you life. It kills you. Why does it kill you? Because what the law is doing is it's convicting you. It's saying, I have no life. And I have no ability. You see, a lot of people in many churches, they say, we have to try to keep the law. But that's a false preaching. If you are busy trying to keep the law, you don't need Christ. You can do it yourself. Even if you're trying to keep the law 10%, you won't get Christ for 90%. It's Christ alone or nothing. Follow me a step further. Now a cloud covers the three of them. Peter is afraid. And And James and John, sorry, there was three. James and John are afraid also.
And Yohani, and Yakobo.
But a cloud covers them. And they no longer see the three figures. What are they going to learn next? What are you and I learning from this next? What happens? A voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved son, hear him. This is my beloved son whom I am well pleased with. The cloud disappears. And who is standing there? Jesus alone. Moses and Elijah are not there anymore. Why not? Because the office of Moses and the office of Elijah, who represents the prophet, has been transferred to Jesus Christ. Someone says, okay, so the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, don't have any value anymore? Of course they do. But only in Christ Jesus. The law is fulfilled in Christ. And the prophets all prophesied of Jesus Christ, and Christ fulfilled all of the prophecies. That's why it's a grave mistake for people who still think that the prophecies of the Old Testament still apply to you and me in its original purpose. They only have power, listen carefully, the law and the prophets only have power in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Are you sure you don't have a question? If you don't understand, please put your hand up. I know some people are struggling to
follow.
And I'm not here to bring some kind of story that you'll forget. I need you to retain this so that God can bless it to your soul. I need you to take this with you. Otherwise, His word will have no profit for your life. Yes.
When
you say that after the disappearance of Elijah and Moses on that mount, and Christ only lament, it means everything of the two has been combined in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have only remained with Christ and Christ alone. So do you mean in the other way that if we today they are so-called minor or major prophets, we must not believe them? These are just lies or jokes, or we don't have such kind of prophets these days?
Right. Very good question. Today we don't have minor or major prophets. What purpose would they serve? Sadly, in Malawi and in Africa, there's many men who want to make themselves a prophet.
tomesa isoni kwa mchoni kuti ku Malawi ku maso mai kwambira mu Africa muno lero lino kwabuka anthu ambira anaku chandane ne ne prophet prophet akundipa madzi chauka mwango dzuka mu kutrika omoga ndani sama kuya khamba limene yali mungu adia mvoto siku
the only reason why they do that is because they want honor for themselves
ndikuza ni mwe vabro ma chifukwa chimene ata chama mbisi ankhani ya prophet ja amangofuna kuti ulemerero ndi ulemu adzikunjikire kwa yeye amwaope mwapatsole
and they are slaying their thousands
ndibwa kusocheretsa anthu ochuluka kobasi
because it has nothing to do with the glory of Christ
chifukwa zilibe kumvana ndi kulumikizana ndi ulemerero wa Mulungu
the worst part is they steal the name of Jesus Christ
chidonyi sabambiri ndi yori amabanda rama za anthu kumalemera okha kunyanja madzina ochuluka Yesu
but if there was a prophet today
kumakana lini nene alipo lero lino
that would mean that it's not finished in Christ. That means your salvation is not complete in Christ. There's still more has to happen with him. So we do not read and neither do we need prophets today. I'll go one more step further. We don't even have apostles today.
Ajazwanira kuti awo ndi atumwi mangana mayona amashuda jama ta apostle atumwe ndiabodzaso ngakunga modzi anako sina na mastyle yoyo
and we also don't have men of God these days
ajazo anhamina mama simba kufika malaka mupha mulungu ngakunga mazi nena chingereza khambi kumalaka man of God man of God zabodza ngakunga modzi
it's not necessary what we do have today Jesus Christ said this himself
yes munoga nani nakuti
we have servants
tirindi adumiki kapena kuti anthu ogwira mchito
humbly serve the gospel truly to
amene amadzichepetsa kwambiri kugwira nchito jamodzipereka kuti ulemerero upite kwa munyu wako sati kwa iwa
do you want to know what Paul says
mudzori Paul nani nakuti yake
He, you know what he says?
Paul doesn't call himself an apostle.
He doesn't call himself a prophet. He says, I, Paul, the slave of Christ. You see how humble that is? He says, I am nothing. Christ is everything. But today, we have so many
men.
Puffed up. And love it when people bow down. They have bodyguards. And when they come to the church, they don't want to sit among the people. But they have to have high places. Let's go back. Because the original question is, what are we doing here? Why are we gathering together? And why on the first day of the week? And what the teaching I'm giving you, you can apply to everything. I'm only applying it to gathering together today, but you can apply it for everything. The Old Testament truth is fulfilled in the New Testament glory of Christ. Now, Old Testament says, seventh day, resting the seventh day. That's the last day of the week.
Rest.
And in the Old Testament, it's actually called a Sabbath. Sabbath means day of rest. How is that fulfilled in the New Testament? Because the day of rest is intended to teach us something. It's intended to teach us that there is a rest for the children of God. It was never intended for God to put a law and a rule for us to have such difficulties keeping. God wanted to teach us something. He wanted to say in the Old Testament, there's a veil to the New Testament. That's why Moses had to put a veil over his head. The glory when he came off the mountain was shining. And people couldn't look at Moses. His face was shining. So they had to go like this. Moses put a veil on his face. What are we being taught by that? It's to say that the New Testament glory, we can't, it's too glorious. We couldn't see it. It's just like you. You can't see glory while you're in the Old Testament dispensation. You're just working very hard. You're trying very hard. Trying to keep the law. Trying to be loving to my wife. Trying to care and give love to my children. And when I see someone has a nice field of corn, I shouldn't steal. Look so nice. I know I can't. So hard work. God says this. There's a new living way in Christ Jesus. Those who believe in Him are free. Free from the bondage of your sinful heart. And by faith alone, you can rise up in the power of Christ and achieve that which you could never achieve by yourself. You don't need to fight against sin. If you're saved by grace, He did the fighting. You don't have to suffer because of sin. Why not? If you're in faith in Jesus Christ, He did the suffering. He suffered to death so that you can live. If you but believe in the only name given under heaven, that's Jesus Christ. But we don't just believe in a name. You see, If someone in the northern part of Malawi had a special medicine for, let's say, HIV. And it was guaranteed to work. And you have HIV. And someone says to you, there's someone in Lilongwe who has a special medicine. When you take it, the next day you're healed. Or the same moment you're healed. Does that help you to know that?
You could
have HIV and you could tell your neighbor, someone in the long way. If I was to take his medicine, I'll be healed right away. You know what your neighbor would say? Well, why don't you do that? See, you wouldn't rejoice in someone that you knew is far away who you've never met. And talking about him is not going to heal you.
It's the
same thing with Christ. We don't believe in his name. His name is Christ, Jesus Christ. But we believe and go in faith in his power. We believe into Jesus Christ. Not just someone who is very far away that and it makes me feel good. See, we would have to go to the person a long way, take his medicine, see him, take his medicine, before we can be healed. That's what we preach. You cannot talk about Jesus
Christ.
You must go to him. You must take his medicine. It's grace. Before your life can change. Your life won't change otherwise. Going back again. Follow me. Now everything is fulfilled in the New Testament. But it's fulfilled in the person and work of Christ. And where we first in the Old Testament rested on the seventh day, over and over and over again, every week, what has made it to go on to the first day of the week in the New Testament? Listen carefully. It was Sabbath in the Old Testament. And Christ came to fulfill the Sabbath, the rest. Man could never do that. It was a law that even if you tried, you couldn't succeed. How does Christ fulfill the Sabbath? Think about it. Stay with me. How did Christ fulfill the Sabbath? Let me give you a little hint. Day
6.
What did God create? Man. 6 is the day of man. Yes?
7.
Is what?
Rest.
And then? Day 8. You say, there is no day
8.
Not with us, no. On earth there, we have to go back to day 1. For our body. But God's day 8 is something else. Day 8 means eternity. Okay, so hold on. Day 6 is the day of man. When did Christ suffer and die on the cross? Day 6. What did Christ do on day 7?
He was in the grave.
In the grave.
He did nothing.
What did he do?
He ali mmanda Yesu wagwiririrwa la sabato no mpana tulija wagwiririrwa muwana ngamera mujanga kama mujana
on day 7 in the grave
mmanda mamadani wagwiririrwa ali mmanda mu
tuli he rested
amabuma
he slept
iye ujada akona dulo soba
he was dead
sana mwali Yesu sana ujaya na ulo kupuma kaya
but think of it symbolically
nera gani sana kaya muka mpindu uru mpija kupuma
he rested
amabuma
and what did he do on day 1 or God's day 8
nde tsiku lija menu kaka lukia mida sulo ya mba la sabata ila jaya na kuri pano pati marika ya mungu kwa nori tsiku lina lo ya mba la sabata kuda jika jaya
what did he do help me yes, woman I need the woman to help
asma mzee akas kwa mzee tuwa zin kuzi asma mpani ya zin
what did he do on day 1 on Sunday
la mulunga dara ni sobano Yesu
he resurrected
anamza
Yesu yasona kulani aguka kumena mapuma kunyo sona na nafa kuya kuti basi kumwa kunya ndata kuzuka sobano
when he resurrected
ndi adzuka sobano
what did he do there
adarani
he resurrected into new life
adzuka mumoyo wa sobano
New Testament.
Mu umboni wa sobano.
New Covenant.
Mu chipangano cha sobano.
Old Testament, old life, old covenant.
Mu chipangano cha kale, marumbiro a kale, mipisano ya kale, zose malamulo a kale, zose zinali chipangano cha kale.
All gloriously fulfilled in Christ for a New Testament.
Ulemelero wa zose zinali chipangano cha kale zichulazi umakavanisidwa mwa Yesu Kristu mmene akuka muja sobano chipangano china cha sobano.
For new life. This is the work of Jesus Christ. Not for himself. But for others. Now, let's finish our question. So, since he rose up the first day. We come together the first day. For what purpose? Sure, we can say worship. And that's true. But what's the real purpose? What lies in worship?
He says we are joyful that he has resurrected.
Yes.
So
are we coming together today like the Old Testament to keep the Sabbath? Or are we coming together to remember his day of resurrection? That's why we come together. God is calling us on the first day of the week to come together. Because that's day 8 for him. Let me give you a couple hints. I know some of this is a little bit difficult. But I'm praying that God blesses it. For some of you. In the Old Testament, what day were they circumcised?
Kodi anthu amachitidwa mdulidwe tsiku liti akati mwana wabadwa amemukisana kuno Bible mwana wabadwa ndi tsiku liti chibadwire mwana uja amakachitidwa mdulidwe nena amu he
on the 8th day
ndi sabu mchita tsiku la 8
women
asimai
you know that
hamene maitiwa
Okay, now you know. It's okay. It's okay if you don't That's why we come together to learn. You don't need to be embarrassed. That's why I'm here. I want to teach you God's word. But I don't want you to come today and not learn anything and then go out and think, oh, I have done something I want you to learn so it will lead you to Christ. So can you stay with me? Because we are praying that the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify
us.
I told you on Friday, this church doesn't need an outward building. At least not in the first place.
Amen.
Because God recognizes a church as such. Men and women who come together in His name. That's a church. It's not the building. When men and women come together in His name, and it's true, He gives you a temporary church. You don't even have to ask as far as that is concerned. He gives it to you
all.
Do you know how close God is? He's so close that there had to have been at least one or two here whom God is answering prayers. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sent here. It's not by chance. It's not a mistake. So on the eighth day they were circumcised. Of course, we know circumcision is Old Testament. So we know that what happened in the Old Testament is finished. Don't let anyone fool you that you have to be circumcised today. That's not true.
Yes.
Okay? But it's symbolic of something in the Old Testament. Are you following me? Circumcision. I know this is not easy to talk
about.
But circumcision was done taking the foreskin.
Flesh,
cutting it with a knife and burying it in the ground from a man. That's the whole point of circumcision. Why did God give this as a symbolism? Because the man produces seed impregnates a woman, and a fruit comes out of the woman, out of her womb. I'm going to keep it plain. Jesus Christ,
yes, Christ
came in the flesh. He was circumcised. He was cut to the heart. He was crucified. He was buried. Raised again so that he could give the power to his bride to bear fruit for him. Following? That was done on the eighth, or he resurrected on the eighth day, which symbolizes eternity. Forever. To help us to recognize something, that the fruit that His people can bear in Him is to all eternity. You see, all these glorious truths are in God's Word.
I'll
tell you where he teaches this. To his disciples. And to us. He comes. He's walking with his disciples. And the disciples didn't understand this so well either. But he comes to a fig tree. And he looks. He can't find any figs. Not one. He can't find one fruit. He's going to use this as an example of what I just talked about. But he sees a lot of leaves. So a tree looks very promising from a distance. But upon further inspection, he can't find fruit. That could be the same thing in this church. It could look very promising. Lots of leaves. Lots of religion. Lots of religion. But upon further inspection, God comes and looks in your heart. Can he find fruit? I mean, fruits of himself. Are you following me? Because if he's going to find fruits in you, even one or two, he's going to see himself in your heart. He's not going to see something you produced yourself, because we can't do that. But in this particular instance, he doesn't find any fruit on the whole tree. And what does he say? He says, no fruit on you to all eternity. Then he comes back the next day. And the disciples look. And they say, ah, look at this tree. It's completely dead.
And they are
wondering. And the Lord Jesus said, why are you marveling? I cursed it. So it will be cursed. Because it didn't bear any fruit. See, that's like you and me. If we don't have Christ, we cannot bear fruit. But if we have Christ, we will automatically bear fruit. Why? Because in that same sense of circumcision, it's in your heart is impregnated by Christ. Can I sum it up one more time? To help us understand. For the woman, an egg forms. However, if seed does not come, what happens? It produces no life. Then it must go out. Because it doesn't have life. Because it did not have seed for it to have life. It's exactly the same thing spiritually. To have communion with Christ is to produce the power to love. It's to produce the power to forgive one another. See, that's what Christ does. He empowers us to be patient, to be forgiving, to be loving, not to whom we choose, but to our enemy, which could happen to be your wife. Could happen to be your husband. One who has done you wrong. That's your enemy. To you. And he says, love your enemies. I can't. I don't have that. I can't. Except in the power of Christ. He changes me. In that sense, to make it as clear as possible, he impregnates me to be able to be forgiving. I've told you a lot. You need to take it with you. Now I'm going to go back to the first point. What are you doing here? What do you want? What are you seeking? What are you hoping for? These are all questions God is asking you. When you come the first day of the week, and if you have come to remember His day of resurrection, so that you too may stand up in a new life, then God can bless it. And God will bless it. He will bless His word. And if you come next week again for the same purpose, this church will begin to bear fruits. And if you don't, you're cursed. You have no hope. I'm not trying to worry you or scare you. But I'm just telling you the truth. The curse lies upon you. Why? Because Christ comes to inspect. He's saying, where's fruits? Where's the figs? I see lots of leaves. Lots of religion. Where's the fruits? Where's the fruits from this boy? And from you? He's saying, where's your fruits? Who do you love? He's asking you today. Where's the figs? You came here. What purpose do you have? What have you done this week? Maybe you come with 100 or 200 kwacha. God doesn't want it. He doesn't need your kwacha. What he's doing today is he's saying this. Where are your fruits? Who have you forgiven this? Who have you loved this week? Who have you asked forgiveness to this week? If you know someone who has been suffering this week and didn't have food to eat, did you bring them semen? No, someone says here today, no, I didn't bring her because it's her own fault. She left her own But God says, love your enemy. And you say maybe, but do I still have to love her and care for her even though she's done me harm and pain? Let me ask you something. Listen here. Does Christ still have to love you even though you and I crucified
him?
If we can't be merciful to someone who's done us wrong, how do you think Christ is going to be merciful to you who has done wrong? He wants fruits. And he's looking for fruits today. Where is the fruits? Soon we're going to sing and we're going to put money in the offering. And God says this. You can use that money for your building. He allows you. But God is not a creator of kwacha. We are. But God gives grace. And He is the author of grace. Our government is the author of
kwacha.
But God is the author of grace. And God sees you. And some people come. And they put maybe 500 kwacha. But God stands here today. In His word. God says, where's my fruit? Where's mine? What's for me, says God? I'm asking you, says God, to love me and your neighbor as yourself. But you hide that. And you give the church 500
questions.
But God says, what about me? Where's my fruit? Because God wants to be honored today. The first day of the week. He is risen. He wants to be honored. Listen, my friends, if you have not brought fruits with you today, if your conscience is saying, oh, this week I have not bare much fruits, then God is saying this to you. Will you this week? Will you this afternoon? Will you for Him go tell someone the gospel? My friends, ladies, listen. Will you today go to maybe the borehole? And will you tell the gospel to someone? Will you go tell them about who Christ is? Will you go tell them today? Today God's word taught us so much. And I want to tell you about the love of Christ. We'll go with your children today and gather your children together and tell them about the stories of the Bible. Do you think that your field is more important? God will take care of your field. If you take care of His
field.
God will take care of food. If you take care of His manna. He's saying, I give you manna. I give it for nothing. You don't have to pay. That's Old Testament. You get it for free. You know what some people did? When the manna was outside, they got lots. So they put some away. And they made ready for today. And And just in case manna doesn't come tomorrow. But God said, I will give it to you every day.
Yes.
And what happened?
And
the next day they come to the manna. You know what that means? Let's make application. If you're living off God's mercies from yesterday, it stinks. Because His mercy is new every day. You know what that means? Maybe someone is here. And he says, you do something wrong. And you've done it wrong last week. But you say, ah, my husband will be okay with
it.
And you use his forgiveness. From last week. No, that doesn't work.
Ah, this is my baby.
We need to be continuously busy. Continuously asking the Lord. Continuously be forgiving. His mercy is new every day. And he gives it each day. So my question to you is, what are you coming here for today? What do you want? What are you hoping to receive? And now you answer God. And now we ask another question. I asked that question in the beginning. And I finished with this question. To God. Because I said, God is asking you a question. And he's saying, what do you want? What are you looking for? And now, it has to go back. We have to give answer from our heart. Now I can say to God, God, we want your blessing. We want your mercy. We want to worship you. Can you say that in your heart? Be careful. Lord, we want to bear fruits for you. As a church, we want to bear fruit with you as a person,
an
individual. And God is saying, then give me the fruits. I will give them to you. But will you return it to me? And he's saying, asking you, where are your fruits? And if you have to be honest today, you have to say, I'm bearing very little or no fruits to God. Then he's calling out to you today and saying, what about this afternoon? What about tomorrow? What about this week? You answer that to God. And he will answer you. You give to him because he already gave to you. And therefore we say, when we come together here on the first day of the week, we come for to worship. But worship means with my heart, my whole heart, my whole spirit, and all out and the whole truth. And that's what he's looking for. It wouldn't make sense to keep coming if you're not going to bear fruit. It wouldn't make sense to build a church if the fruits are not going to him. It would just be a dead church.
Like
in Revelations. And you will say this. You have a name that you live. But you are dead. Who wants a name that they live but are actually dead? So we pray that this church, you people, may come together and serve the one true living God. And that this church may be a fruitful tree, budding forth with so much fruit, so that other people say, what a fruitful tree this church is. And that's how you will grow in grace. And the fruits are all found in Jesus Christ. And He divides and gives. Not sparingly, but fully. Out of His throne of grace.